What I'm going to share with you this morning is a broad effort in the Southeast. It's sponsored by the Cooperating Southeast State Sport Committees. And I have many co-authors. I'd like to recognize them. Dan Robinson, Tommy Walker, Charles Davis, Francis Ray Jones from South Carolina, Philip Roberts, Michael Taves, John Ruberson from Georgia, and Jack Batchelor and Dan Mott from North Carolina. All of these individuals participated in working on threshold research for stink bugs last year. And we're talking about stink bugs in the Southeast. As Mike mentioned, we're primarily dealing with green stink bug, southern green stink bug, and brown stink bug, comprising the majority of our stink bug complex. For the last 10 or so years, stink bugs have been in the top 10 for the most part. We learned yesterday from Mike Williams that stink bugs were sixth overall in the U.S. For the year in terms of ranking. They have been in the top three for the last several years before that, and this would be U.S. If we're talking about Southeast, they're going to be one or two. And despite the low pressure we had in 07 in the Southeast, they would still be one or two. And we'll talk more about that in a minute. But everybody knows by now that the low spray environment created by BT cotton selective chemistries, the boll weevil eradication program, selective insecticide chemistries provided by BT cotton and other soft foliar insecticides, has reduced broad spectrum insecticide use and has allowed stink bugs to avoid that coincidental control. I showed this slide on Wednesday from Dr. Roberts in Georgia that clearly illustrates how we have gone from active eradication with almost 16 sprays per season down to two or so in our current time. So they have greatly benefited from the reduction of insecticide use. When it comes to managing stink bugs in the field, we basically rely heavily on the chemical control strategy, using monitoring methods, using insecticides applied at appropriate thresholds. And that's what we'll talk about today. Sampling methods, Mike did an excellent job talking about a comparison of direct sampling methods and indirect. Some of our old methods would include the sweep net and the drop cloth observation. And we have used this bowl sampling method over the last number of years to work on this bowl injury threshold. And we have found this to be a reliable method using these internal symptoms to monitor for bug presence and feeding. The beauty of this is that it does include other insects that feed in a piercing, sucking manner, such as tarnished plant bug, clouded plant bug, flea hopper, leaf-footed bug, etc. So we did use this to develop a threshold, and these are some of the data that are responsible for that recommendation. This was work done in Georgia in the late 90s, early 2000s, which let me set this slide up because I've got way too many of these yield slides to show you for the pressure we had last year, but I think my co-presenters would want their work shown because a lot of effort goes into a slide like this. It's all season long. We get yield here. We've got the different treatments here, 10, 20, 30% internal boll injury. We had one bug per 2 meters, which would have been our threshold based upon bug density in an untreated check. All of these will be BT cotton. That you'll see, and at the 20% internal injury, it resulted in our highest net return and actually the highest yield for this time period. So this will be the basis for that threshold, and that's what we use today, 20% of medium-sized bowls with at least one internal feeding symptom inside. All right, let's get right into these 20-something slides, and I'm going to go through them fairly quickly since they all illustrate basically the same point. We had low pressure, and you'll see how our recommendation held up. Again, yield, our different treatments here. This particular test, we sprayed 10 times starting 10 times weekly starting at the first week of square through the season. Lost $8.75 on that treatment weekly from the first week of bloom, a net return of $40 per acre. We sprayed automatically at weeks 3, 5, and 7 of bloom, and that returned about $52 an acre, and we lost money on our 10% and our dynamic threshold, which Dr. Batchelor explained on Wednesday. I'm not going to go into great detail on that. It's basically a threshold that fluctuates based upon week of bloom. It gets a little more aggressive during the weeks 3, 5, and 7, or I should say 3, 4, and 5. another test in South Carolina. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on a test like this where we sprayed a lot and we did not make any money. During weeks 3 and 5 of bloom, two automatic applications, we returned $58. Looking at a test like this, basically lost money wherever we sprayed for stink bugs. At this trial, made a little money at the 10%. We actually applied one application at both 17 and 19%. And that's close to our 20% threshold, but it illustrates that we probably didn't need those applications, and this would really not be clearly representative of that threshold. Looking at another test, basically no net returns except for 30% in the dynamic threshold in this particular trial. Another test in South Carolina, again, spraying at this low density, just did not pay. One application that the dynamic did because of yield variability. Another test where we actually did see some returns from insecticide applications. We had $102, almost $103 at the 10%. One application applied at 15% injury, returned $65. If we take four sites from South Carolina that had these five treatments in common, we did see, because of the variability in yields, we did see some return from insecticide application, highest returns coming at the dynamic threshold. Moving into Georgia, and you're going to see the same general trend here. There was a little return from one or three applications at 10, 20% internal injury and using the dynamic threshold. No return at this site for using insecticide. No return at this site from using insecticide. We did two applications at the dynamic threshold at this particular site, did return $58. Basically no return here, 10% resulted in $11.80. Another site here with the dynamic, both the dynamic and the 20% recommended threshold, resulted in a positive net return. Take four sites with these four treatments in common from Georgia in 07. The dynamic threshold was the only threshold that returned a positive return on that insecticide investment. Look at three sites in Georgia with these three treatments in common, and the 20% injury resulted in a positive net return. Moving into North Carolina, again, the same general trend. Insecticide use, low pressure, really didn't pay. One application at 20%, positive return, no return this site. One application at both the 20% and the dynamic, $13 and almost $26. Another site, didn't pay to spray for stink bugs this site. Another site with three treatments, a check, 10% and weekly. From bloom resulted in positive net return at 10%. Another site with these two treatments, it did not pay to spray for bugs at this site. We look at four of those sites in North Carolina with these treatments in common. Again, same message, it basically did not spray, pay for itself to spray for stink bugs. When you take 13 sites from all three states in 07 that had these three treatments in common, the dynamic threshold was the only threshold that returned a positive return for 1.5 insecticides. Look at 12 sites from the three states in 07 with these four treatments in common, and again, the dynamic threshold was the only one that provided a positive net return. Seven sites with these five treatments in common, and the only treatment that returned a positive number was the 20%, a little more than one application. So that was 07. I went through those quickly, but I think you got the message from 07. We didn't have the bugs, and we tested our threshold recommendation under those conditions. We'll go back to 06, which was basically a repeat of what we had in 07. We did have some positive returns at both the weekly, the 20%, and the dynamic threshold last year, or in 06. And the dynamic threshold and the 20% threshold resulted in the highest net return in 06. When you go back to 05, which was before my return to South Carolina, I think Philip Roberts would agree that it was a good bug year in terms of higher numbers of bugs. And you can see that six applications applied weekly during the blooming period resulted in $161 return. So it did pay to spray for stink bugs then. Our 20% threshold, I do not have statistics on this on these averages here, but it's probably not significantly different, although numerically lower. So threshold seemed to be fine in 2005. So from all of these data, and we'll have to put them all together, do it again this year, it does seem that our current threshold recommendations are still sound, and there will be no change in South Carolina. 20% will be the recommendation, but depending upon week of bloom, it does appear that you can get a little more aggressive during weeks 3, 4, and 5 of bloom, possibly lowering that to 10%. And with that, I'm just going to end and take some questions.
We have time for questions, so.
Yes, sir. That's why we're going to do it again. I'm sorry, the question was, how do I think the dynamic threshold is going to hold up under heavy pressure? And I responded in saying that's why we're going to continue to do this until we get heavy pressure. Oh, yeah, I should have mentioned that. Our treatment was 0.033 of karate, pounds of AI, and 0.25 pound of Bidrin. Tank mixed. That was the application we used every time. Sure. The question was, if a grower gets the number 20% and it takes 3 or 4 days for him to get to those fields and cover those fields, spray those fields, what's the injury going to get to? Could very well increase substantially, could stay about the same. In our trials, we pretty much get those numbers and it's probably sprayed the next day, maybe 2 days. It rains on our trials as well. We may have to wait a little while. So we conduct these trials under real world situations like a grower would. It certainly could go up. Timeliness is important. 20% is a guide. I don't think a lot of folks use 20%. I think they start around 15 or so to allow time before they get to that level. So it's just a guide. Yeah, Roy. Instead of damage. Yeah. Damage, injuries, easier. Sure, sure. In our local meetings, we explain that it's not actual injury or damage. It's just evidence of bug presence and feeding.
Thank you very much.